Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The game. Oh, it's getting, you know, it's all strikeout-based. Everyone's just throwing too hard. I think what should happen is you need some guys just throwing balls that are dancing all over the zone that are a complete mess out there. Right now, we go out to the fan hotline. It's presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Talk to Pirates broadcaster Greg Brown. Brownie, how are you?
Wolsey, how you doing?
I'm doing well. It finally feels like summer. I imagine it's invigorating to call a game where you don't feel like you're going to be needing to put on a parka here in Pittsburgh.
I'd say it was incredible. We landed on Monday morning at about, I don't know, what, probably 3 a.m. And it was, because we came from San Diego, I don't know what the temperature was, but nobody was dressed for it. It was crazy. As we were exiting the plane, it was, and we stood there waiting for our luggage out there. It was, this is a welcome relief, and I think everybody's kind of a little extra pep in, I think, everybody's step right now.
Brownie, I'm going to ask you about something that is not like a pleasant thought for any of us, although I will tell you I appreciated your call of it because I think you match the incredulity of every viewer at home watching it. I know the automated balls and strikes can't, or like a challenge system or anything like that, that they debated having in spring training this year. They rolled it out to at least test run it. Could not possibly be implemented until at least next year. But what can be done about what happened on that Henry Davis pitch? I mean, that's truly the kind of call that ends up turning a game. You have no idea what happens if the right call is made. And I just, as a viewer, I get very frustrated that there is no other recourse for that right now other than ump made a terrible call, live with it.
Well, and I think that's where we are. I don't think there is anything you can do. That's bottom line. Ump made a bad call, and you have to live with it. And you realize that the game, there's no guarantee the Pirates win that game. Yeah, it would have been tied at that point. The momentum was there in favor of the Pirates, but no guarantee that they win it. And there are other opportunities. It felt like the game was decided on that particular pitch. My argument over the years, Chris, has always been when they introduced replay the very beginning, and we started going through these Zapruder films, and we still do at times, where the guy's barely got a fingertip off of off of second base, a head first slide, and we have to wait and see, and they extreme zoom and slow mo, and they match different angles. And I always felt like this is backwards. What's more important, a stolen base at second in the second inning, or what we saw happen to Henry Davis the other day? A game-turning pitch is called, and it seems to me, I don't know this for a fact, but it seems like the technology was always there years ago to do it at home plate. I think that's where it should have started. If capital I, capital F, if you introduced replay, and they did, then start it at home plate where balls and strikes are called, and every pitch can be decided, an edge pitch, and you have the technology to call whether it's a ball or a strike. So I'm just kind of sitting back and watching it all happen, and then I'm sure, I'd put every penny I have on the ABS challenge system happening opening day next year. I mean, it's foregone conclusion. It's happening. And now, you know, now the next thing they're trying to check swing technology, you know, with the camera angles, right, to check swings down in the lower minors. Oh,
I kind of like check swings being a total judgment thing, Brownie. This is, you know, I'm kind of a pro replay person most of the time. I kind of like check swings because the viewer at home sort of knows what's supposed to be judged there. And I love how much ridiculous variance there is in that particular call. That's like a weird soft spot I have for the human element. It's funny that we bring this up, though, because Donnie and I were talking yesterday, and we only realized it belatedly at the end of the show. Yesterday was the anniversary of the Armando Galarraga perfectly imperfect, whatever you want to call it. I say it's a 28-out perfect game. Back then, they only had replay available if the crew chief called for a replay, and it was only on home runs. But, like, that's another example of a very infamous play that couldn't even be reviewed, even though they had limited review at the time. My other question about that Davis call is this. What did you make of Andrew McCutchen after the game saying that, hey, this is what happens when you're not playing very good baseball or your reputation isn't of a very good team, that you have to earn these kinds of calls? I just wanted your thoughts on that statement from McCutchen.
Well, you know, I've watched Andrew over all these years from the day he was drafted and signed, and I've really been fascinated on how he approaches the game, approaches the clubhouse, approaches his role as he has grown into this veteran, iconic figure. And he is not your typical leader. People have said that about him over the years. You know, they needed to bring McCutchen back as a leader. No, he's not that. It's old cliche, you know, he leads by example. Yeah, true. But he's just too quiet. It's just not his personality. And I can count on one hand over 15-plus years, whatever it's been, that he's been in a Pirate uniform, where he has said something that really catches your eye or make your ears perk up. Mm-hmm. The other one was, my gosh, years ago. I'll never forget. I was sitting with Steve Blass at the old Lexus Club after one of the games. Steve and I would sit and have a cocktail and just veg out while the traffic subsided. And they were very kind to hand us maybe a glass of wine, and we would just sit there and we'd watch with the sound down, the big screen TV in one of the lounges there behind home plate, and the devastating loss, and all of a sudden the cameras are on McCutchen, and we turn up the volume, and I don't remember the exact words, but it was taking full responsibility for everything. And we both, like, our jaws dropped. Like, it was so meaningful, so powerful, so impactful. And so what he did the other day reminded me of that he told everybody, listen, you get it. In so many words, we have to quit whining. We haven't earned that respect yet. We have to go out and earn it. And then, Chris, for him to go out the next day, I just talked to Don Kelly on the radio pregame about this. When he goes out the next day and he homers, and the team has that lead, thanks in large part to his home run and what he did, that's backing things up right there, backing your words up with action. And so, long-winded answer to your question about what I thought about McCutchen and his words. I thought it was spot on, and I think it was a lesson learned by many of the more inexperienced players. And I think they have shaken that Henry Davis strike three call off, and they've moved on from it.
Brownie, I'll stick with McCutchen here. You've obviously seen a lot of players come through this organization. You know well its history. You know, obviously, because you called it, that home run tied him with Roberto Clemente for third all-time on the team home run list. His next one will put him third alone. As we get into the twilight, maybe it's the last year, who knows, maybe he wants to go one more year of Andrew McCutchen's career. How do you evaluate his place within Pirates history?
Oh, yeah, I don't know. I guess I'll wait until his career is actually over in Pirates history. But, you know, he likes to point out, and he's right, because I've introduced him at events, and he's kiddingly gotten up to the podium after I've introduced him. And back then, you know, he's X amount of home runs away from Clemente or whatnot. And he would say, you know, if I'd played my whole career here, I'd be past Roberto. and he's right. And it's a shame because he didn't want to leave. But you know, he stands alone in that respect. There's nobody, to my knowledge, well, you know, the advent of free agency in the mid-70s, so it's a fact. nobody, and I pointed this out when he came back, I think it was on with you and Andrew, the offseason he signed to return. In the history of Major League Baseball, it was unique that he would leave not on his own accord, but because of a trade, and then decide a handful of years later to return at a nice price tag favorable to both parties, and to finish up his career in a Pirates uniform. No player, to my knowledge, had done that before in baseball. So he stands alone in that respect in terms of, you know, the clause that state, you know, talks about the type of person, the character mm-hmm. clause in the Hall of Fame and so on. I've debated this too over the last couple of years. The more hits he has, the more he climbs up the ladder, the more I think you can, I was making an argument for it last offseason, legitimate argument that he is at least Hall of Fame worthy, of Hall of Fame worthy consideration. And I still hold true to that. And the more he plays, the more he rises among the ranks of the all-time great Pirates, I think the more, and all-time great hitters in baseball history, the more it's going to be hard not to strongly consider him for the Hall of Fame.
Greg Brown, he'll be on the call tonight. Paul Skeens on the bump as he just tries to keep pace with the Pirates' real ace, Bailey Falter, and he takes on the Astros later tonight. Good night for baseball. I'm hoping there's a big crowd to watch the big guy pitch tonight, Brownie.
I think there will be. I don't know what it's going to be. You know, unfortunately, the Pirates aren't playing well. If they'd been playing well.
Playing better with Don Kelly, though, I pointed out. We discussed this.
100%.
Playing much more respectable baseball under Don Kelly, and that's why I'm interested to see on a night when schools are basically all out or going to end tomorrow, if more fans say, you know what, let's blow off what we normally do and go watch Paul Skeens pitch on a really nice night.
You know, I also think that they are, I think they're being, that's an old cliche too about being held accountable. Who in this day and age of society is truly held, quote, held accountable? What does that mean? Well, Tanner Rainey did not get the job done the other day. Gave up all those runs, walked all those guys. The next day, he's designated for assignment. I don't know if that's coincidental. Yeah, I don't know if that's coincidental, but I can tell you that this over the last several years, that doesn't happen.
Agreed. Thank you, Brownie. We'll talk again next week.
Thanks, Mulsey.
I do, man. I think we've got the usual plans. I think there'll be kids playing in the neighborhood tonight, basically celebrating that school's out, but I could be persuaded to go down to the old ball yard. What'll Noah Hyle say? Good seat or what? What is it? What's his bit that he does from the press box?
I suppose this seat will do.
Yes. Parado's is nice night for a ball game.
Should be a good ball game.
Should be a good. Who's this nice night for a ball game? I feel like that's a third one.
I don't know. I know those two.
Oh, they all got their
Parado
little.
Parado is one of my favorites. I'll just say, like,
should be a good ball game's an all-timer.
Yeah, it'll be Pirates and Astros. Should be a good ball game. It could be whoever playing.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Whoever.
PM team, Mulzey, Donnie, Pirates baseball coming up. Pre-game starts 5:40 here on the Fan. Paul Skeens on the bump. 80-plus degrees right now. A perfect 80 outside. Nice night for a little game at the ball yard. This is the kind of one that would get me down there just because, I don't know, Astros I always think of as being a team. I hate them, first off. I will say that, Donnie. I've never forgiven them for the for what I consider to be a very obvious scandal, that they the trash can scandal. And the Jose Altuve not wanting his shirt ripped off of his body when he hit a walk-off. You'll never convince me there wasn't shady business afoot there.
So I really am going to be curious one day when Altuve...
Who's going to go to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, like, how's that going to go?
What's the deal with that whole thing?
how's that whole deal? Bonds doesn't get in, McGuire doesn't get in, Canseco, Clemens, you know, go down the line of the steroid guys. What the Astros did was deliberately cheating, not just in regular run-of-the-mill 162 regular season baseball games.
Mm-hmm.
They were openly cheating the game in the game's biggest moments. And those guys are probably going to waltz right into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I feel like Altuve is going to make it. Now that I'm looking at his numbers, man, I'm wondering about his comps. Now, see, this is what happens. You go down like a dumb little rabbit hole. Yeah, you know why? Because he was a middle infielder with those offensive numbers. That's the difference between being a middle infielder and being like McCutcheon.
Right, and think about the huge playoff moments he's had.
You know who's not in, who has like a very similar score as far as like what his career is like? Our former market manager, Michael Young. Texas Rangers.
He was a good ball player.
Career 300 hitter.
Was he the man with the go-ahead hit in the 06 All-Star game?
He was, actually. Very good. Good memory. I was working that game as an intern for WTAE. Very good memory. Yeah, if you basically put up similar numbers to what Altuve's done, you're probably going to end up in the Hall of Fame. Anyway, that's the kind of game I would want to see, because I'd want to see if Skeens could mow them down, because I do not like that baseball team. Just not one bit. Let's play a little trade game. I always want to say, is it Bowden or Bowden? It's Jim Bowden.
Yeah, I think I said it incorrectly.
You said it like he was Bobby Bowden. It's Jim Bowden, who got his start like on the administrative side of the Pirates front office, right?
I did know that.
He basically digitized all of their records. That was like one of the big things he did. Obviously ran the Reds for a while. He now is over at the Athletic, and Jim Bowden is oftentimes like he's their main guy, basically telling you about trades and the deadline and the inner workings. And so he lists a couple of teams that are possible trade, you know, teams to be selling, but then listed in the seven or eight teams that are definitely selling, the Pirates are third on the list. He basically goes in reverse order from worst record up to closest to respectability. Here's who he listed. Andrew Heaney, most likely to be traded, Dennis Santana, and Adam Frazier. He said, unlikely the Pirates would trade any of their outfielders. O'Neill Cruz isn't going anywhere. Brian Reynolds having a bit of a down year. Andrew McCutcheon wants to finish is expected to finish his career as a Pirate. He mentions Ke'Bryan Hayes. He mentions Bednar. He mentions Dennis Santana. He mentions Heaney. He mentions also Bailey Falter, just when he's talking about the whole rotation. Let's play a quick little game, Don. Now, incumbent on playing this game successfully is having to admit that we don't want Ben Cherington to do any of these things. We don't want him to have the power to do it, but he is going to be the general manager. I'd be dumbfounded if something happens that makes him not the general manager come trade deadline time. So, I'm going to name a Pirates player, okay? And I'm going to ask you if you would have that, if you'd be open for business listening on them, all right? You ready? Henry Davis, if somebody actually wanted to trade for Henry Davis, lower level move.
Yeah, I'd be open for business.
I'm going to shock you. I wouldn't. I want to see the rest of this year out of him to see if there's something there. He would be obviously a throw-in in any deal. You're not getting anything significant in return. I need this year. And then if I have to jettison him for basically no return whatsoever, because you'd get almost nothing, you'd get the classic bag of baseballs for what he's been right now, so be it. I would actually want to see it, though. Joey Bart, I would be open to moving. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, he was not a guy that was originally chosen by this organization.
Second overall pick, though.
Yeah, I mean, he's almost like the same sort of pedigree as Henry Davis.
Correct.
Not a bad hitter, going through a pretty bad slump, though. So I think the questions are getting back to, was last season an outlier when he surprised a lot of people?
Probably.
And he's, what, 28 years old?
Yeah, he's not young. Not young. So I think you would have to, let me put it this way. Of those two players, I'd be much more interested in hanging on to Davis just to see what there is. I think there's more raw power there. I know Bart's got like light tower power when he hits them. They're usually not cheap. But I think there is still more functional power with Davis if you could ever get him to stop like treating every at bat like his life is on the line. I think when Henry Davis just comes in, see ball, hit, it's kind of like Jack Sawinski syndrome. If you could just get Henry Davis to relax to the point where it was see ball, hit ball, I think you might have like a useful, above average offensive player in the major leagues. David Bednar.
Yes.
I'm wide. They should have done this.
They probably
years.
Missed the boat.
Oh, they definitely missed the boat. And you know what? That's going to be one of those things that frustrates me. I get it. He's from here, the Renegade. It's fun. But he was never a closer on a really good baseball team. I think those guys have way more value when the team is good. And if he's lights out for a team that wins 92 games, well, then we can talk. He never was. He was a closer on a bad baseball team who people liked. And I think they, honestly, for PR reasons, probably more than anything, were inclined to keep him around. And I think they missed the boat. How many years ago was it? At least two, maybe 3 years ago, where he had a ton of value to them?
Yeah, and like his all-star seasons.
Yeah, and they just did not seem to have any interest in moving him, and I thought that was a mistake then. I think you got to be open for business on him now. I assume same thing from you with Dennis Santana. I'm going to get to the harder ones last here.
Santana's, right now, he's the reliever that would get
filthy.
Them the best return.
Can be because, filthy when he's on.
Yeah,
like, truly filthy.
And a team that thinks, hey, we need maybe not a closer, but a guy in the seventh or eighth. Yeah, I think they would absolutely have interest in him. He's having a great season.
I will tell you right now that he's like a classic example, because I just talked about Bednar, of if you're a bad team with a really good reliever, you should be hyper-motivated to move that player. I don't think there is a situation in baseball that is more useless than great reliever on the back end of a team that stinks. You don't even get to use them in the situations that are like high leverage, because you're hardly ever in high leverage situations late in games. If I ran a team that was not good, like the Rockies have two closers, they're going to trade them both probably. That's what you should do. That's one of the quickest ways, I think, to actually try and stockpile some picks, is to try to find relievers that are good if you're a bad team that you know you can flip. Key Brian Hayes, would you be interested in open for business on him? I'm not even including Heaney in this because he's going to get dealt.
Yeah, I think Heaney's like the obvious. He's your typical like veteran lefty who is the classic move.
I'd be ready to give up on Key Brian Hayes at this point. I don't know about you, but I would be listening. If there was a team that really could use his defense and did not necessarily need Key Brian Hayes' offense, his contract's pretty attractive to bigger market teams, I would think.
Yeah, because it's really not bad to bigger
it's
market
not a,
teams.
I mean, he is truly an atrocious hitter.
He has
one home run.
No, he has seven extra base hits.
One home run. His OP, he's slugging 276. We killed Tommy Pham, and rightfully so, for how bad he was. Key Brian Hayes is slugging at 40 points better. That ain't much. His slugging percentage is barely better than the big tree, Jared Triolo. They just stockpile great glove third baseman who can't hit a lick.
Yeah, see, so here's the thing. Like, Triolo certainly has his limitations offensively, but when you have a baseball team like this, at least right now, what's it hurt to play him instead of Hayes?
I know. I would be open for business. Last one here, just a quick Pirates trade game. We know Heaney's gone. We know Santana's probably gone. We know Bednar might go if somebody wants him. And we know that Adam Frazier's probably gone. Bailey Falter, this is the real pièce de résistance here. Bailey Falter just completed a month where his ERA was under one. It was 0.76. That was somehow not the lowest in the National League. I'm completely blanking on the Reds pitcher who had .55, but that was pretty sick from him. Bailey Falter is not a free agent until 2029. He does not strike out a ton of hitters, but I think he's got a pretty lively arm. This is a litmus test. Do you see Bailey Falter? It's also a question about how you view the Pirates. Is he to you a future member of the rotation, albeit at the back end, like a really good four or five, or is he a trade chip to try to get more players for a future run?
I think you at least take calls on a player like him. And if they didn't have an abundance of starting pitching in their pipeline, because that is what their strength is, there's no denying it. And I know he's a lefty when it's majority righties of what they have. You have to at least take calls, see if somebody knocks your socks off, because Falter having another pretty good season. He surprised people last year, but 28 years old, so it's not like he's
late bloomer,
like just coming up. And I'll say this for Ben Cherington. He knocked that trade out of the park, Falter for Rodolfo Castro. That's probably his best work, but it could look even better
if you flip him again.
Flip Bailey Falter and you end up building some capital for your future, which I think they should look into. Because what people are probably afraid to say with how well Falter's pitching right now is he could blow up at any time.
You said it really well, so I'm just going to leave it there. I would absolutely be looking to deal him. You need more hitting prospects. And I think teams are smart. They're not going to be fooled too much. They're going to look at the peripherals. But I would absolutely be in the, hey, we're actively listening on Bailey Falter business. Because I think he's still an asset to me that's flippable more than he is anything else. And the lefty part of it, I think, makes him even more valuable. Not that I would want Cherington to be the one making these moves, but in principle, I would do it. Hey, plan to join us for lunch on Thursday at the Upper St. Clair Volunteer Fire Department from noon until 1:30. We'll have hot dogs, subs, chips, and more. That's the Fan 5 Alarm Marathon presented by Allegiant Community Federal Credit Union, brought to you by South Hills Lincoln, the PA Market, and Fast Rescue Solutions. I will be diligently working on some of the things I have planned for the 5 Alarm Marathon tonight. I'll be doing a little homework, getting in the lab at the Mulsey residence. So I've got a lot on the docket. I'm also ending a 6 to 7 hour, I think, right into when we have people coming out to be our next up on the fan. So I'll be,
oh, that's right.
I'll be a very harsh judge potentially. If anybody should know how you have
you
to,
should be, like
to
the
talk your way
top
into
judge.
A judge. Yeah, should be me. Should be Mulsey. I know what sounds good. Anyway, it's time for the Donnie Debrief, and it's brought to you by Saloni's Italian Bread Company, over 100 years of baking experience. Don.
The Debrief, June 3, 2025. A fun one today, Mulsey.
Okay.
With the Madden cover getting released yesterday, the reverse hurdle from Saquon Barkley, a pretty cool cover, one of the more
Definitely.
Clever ones they've had lately.
Definitely.
At least. I put it out there today on Twitter. You were one of the many responses.
Yeah, this one got me. When I saw this one pop up, I was like, ooh, I got to think back here.
The Madden cover of the first Madden you played,
mm-hmm.
and then which Madden you think is the best one.
Okay, so I didn't answer the second part of this, but I'll tell you about the first part. I remember I maybe played like Madden 94 at my buddy Kevin's house, who had Sega Genesis. We were a Nintendo family, so it was always Nintendo to Super Nintendo. I do distinctly remember the first Madden game I asked for or got was Madden 95, and I was just a menace. Now, I would play once in a while as the Cowboys. They were stacked, and the Niners too. The Steelers were like weirdly rated not a good team in that game, despite I think like being
in their Super Bowl.
Yeah,
year.
Or having like, because they would always rate it off the previous year's team or something, but they should have been really good, and I feel like they were undersold. I'd get in the far near formation, so two backs set off, obviously, and I would run the halfback toss sweep. It didn't matter near hash, far hash. We ran the crap out of that play on Super Nintendo. And Rod Woodson was an absolute menace returning kicks. There are video game Pantheon athletes, Mike Vick in Madden 04, Bo Jackson in Tecmo Super Bowl, Christian Okoye in Tecmo Super Bowl, guys like that. Rod Woodson returning kickoffs in that game was an animal. He just was. I don't know if you feel this way. It was impossible to run the plays as they were designed, I feel like, back then. Like, so they would run, here's your blocking scheme, right? The toss sweeps, you could run to the outside. If you tried to run an interior running play, I just swear to God the defense got you every time.
On, like the super old ones?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The mechanics
were terrible. You're getting, like, a two-yard gain.
Like, I would love to meet the person who knew on those games how to, like, properly wait for their blocks and, wiggle through the line for, like, 4 or 5 yards. I feel like they've gotten much better at, like, that being a realistic thing now. Pick your hole and you can actually get 5 or 6 yards if you do it right.
Yeah, that at least seemed like a good change they had with the turn of the century. Like, once they got into the 2000s and, like, the game evolved a little bit more. And then, like, PlayStation 2 came out, so they had more options.
So the best Madden gets me to my next point. The last time I played it and cared deeply about it was Madden 99, N64. You could do helmet cam there and play the game as the player, which was kind of wild for the time. It was very,
okay,
it was hard to do.
Yeah.
But I would play blimp mode, where you just had a straight top-down look because you could, like, it had all the funky camera angles you could play the game from. And I remember, just like Starkey saying, I barnstormed the world as the Buffalo Bulls with James Stark, blah, blah, like, whatever. I was the Jets with Curtis Martin. I want to say they had Wayne Krabet on that team in 90. It would have been
right.
Like the 98 Jets. I guess Vinny Testaverde would have been their quarterback, probably. Curtis Martin, Wayne Krabet. Did they have Keyshawn back then? I think they should have.
99, that sounds right.
Yeah, he was the number one overall pick in 96. So 96, 97, 98, 99. I won the Super Bowl in blimp mode. And I just loved blimp mode because you could juke so easily because you knew exactly how far the defender was from you. So I would barnstorm the country as the New York football Jets on blimp mode in that game. True story.
I didn't first get the game until Madden 02, and I played it on PC. That had Dante Culpepper
PC?
On the front.
Were yeah. you like a mouse and keyboard player?
No, so my dad got me like a little controller.
Like the USB or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, almost like a PlayStation controller. And there I was, 6, 7 years old
what
playing
a guy.
That. But I mean, that Madden run of like the mid-2000s, easily my favorite. Probably 06 I would go as my favorite one, although I hated the QB vision. Like that cone, so I would always turn it off.
I feel like I stopped liking it as much for 04 when the game, quote-unquote, got better. I discovered NCAA football and just became way more pumped.
Those games were great, too. I loved playing the
college football
games.
02 and 01, though, the early versions when they had franchise mode, man, I was creating players. I was a menace. This also makes me feel like I'm so much older than you because I am. Because the first Madden game I got, you weren't even born yet. Anyway, good debrief. George Pickens, number 3 in Dallas. Best number 3 in sports history.
Wouldn't it be Ruth?
Yeah, so I was just making sure you knew that. I thought you might say like Iverson or something.
Jeff
like
Reed.
That. Oh, man. Oh, man. That's a hell of a call. Wait, didn't Chris Brown wear number 3 too? I think
yes,
he did.
Yes, he did.
Oh, now Jeff
Landry
Reed, not even
Jones.
The worst. Yeah, I was going to say, Jeff Reed, not even the worst Steelers kicker, and he was actually a good Steelers kicker. Remember when Chris Brown just basically got the yips and couldn't kick anymore? That wasn't fun.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
we've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.